Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast, where each week I come on here and discuss my philosophy and approach of and to health and happiness. Figure that one out. Go diagram that sentence. If you're joining me for the first time, go back and check out some of the early ones. In fact, I'm really trying to urge people who have been listening for a while to go back and check them out, revisit them here and there. I know I always say that, but that's how it goes. Anyway, okay, I hope everybody had a good week. I had a good week. I'm back in the swing of exercise now. Feeling good. Took some great runs. I have a pair of sandals that I run in. I'm not connected to this company, by the way. You know I'm sensitive about that, but I don't sell anything. But I have Earth Runners, which are these sandals that I run in on occasion. I did not during the training of the marathon, but now I'm back. Took an awesome trail run today in them. It feels a little like I'm in, ancient Egypt, a little like that. But feels good, and gets the feet nice and dirty, kind of into that. So back into that, little strength training and digging it, just kind of back in the swing. So did 6 days last week and feeling really good and all fully recovered and that kind of rigmarole. This podcast in its entirety is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California, where I work. Besides my private practice, I also head up the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, which is a holistic and integrated wellness center. I think the most integrated and holistic in the country, I would imagine. We have a lot going on there, cooking and gardening and art play shops, and I do nutrition and Chinese herbals, the whole shebang. It's pretty awesome. We did a vegan cooking retreat last week. It was phenomenal. We had a bunch of people involved, and they had an awesome time and learned a ton about all that whole thing. So that was pretty cool too. If you want more information on retreats coming up, go to livingwellmendocino.com or stanfordinn.com for that stuff. If you're interested in following me or keeping an eye on what I do, and I do post photos fairly regularly and try to keep up on Facebook and Twitter, all that jam. Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Sid Garza-Hillman, and Facebook, Transitioning to Health. And you can do me there. You can go to transitioningtohealth.net, throw in your email, and get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. But also listen to the podcast and find out where I'll be appearing as those things come up. One of the things I'm going to be doing, which I don't even know if I put it on the site yet because I'm not as good about that, is I do a monthly spreecast the first Saturday of every month. And it's free. It's a live video format where you see me and everybody can watch me answer questions and actually hear me answer questions, which is even better because without sound, it would be kind of a boring hour. You throw up your questions. I put them up for everybody to see and answer them, and it's free. Did I say that already? June 7th, Saturday, noon, Pacific Standard Time in the United States. Anywhere in the world, you just log on to spreecast.com. and search on Sid Garza-Hillman, and my page will come up, and you'll see, and you just pop on it. It's like super easy and fun. Throw me a review on iTunes. I would appreciate it. It helps the podcast go out. I keep it free, but I love when it grows. It helps the whole picture of why and what I do. So you can throw me a review on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else that you're getting this podcast. I think that's about it for show notes. Oh, the t-shirts. They're in the works. Very exciting. I am, the design is finished as of today. actually. The design is finished, and I'm just getting some quotes on shirt pricing and whatnot, and I'm hoping within a couple weeks I will have them in hand. That is my goal anyway. Clear my throat. I was getting a little emotional there about the t-shirts. I really wasn't. Okay, let's get to business, everybody. Okay, this is enough. Quit messing around and focus. Okay, you might want to pull over your car if you're commuting to really get into this. Okay, you don't really need to go to work. There's no real reason for that, as far as I can tell, in the world. But I wanted to kind of talk about, I've been doing this, you know, not that long, but since September. So we're deep, we're in it, right? We're in it. And this is like I'm the small step advocate. This is a small step revolution is what's happening here. And you're involved in it and you're part of it. Without you, it's just me talking to a microphone. But it is a change, and it's a way, it really is a different way of approaching health and happiness in what I think is a sustainable and long-term way, which is that we appeal to our natural design and we enter life in the modern world through that filter. And we accept that we're in the modern world and we do the things that modern world people do. We go to work and we raise families and we, you know, travel and we eat food in packages and stay inside, not in the sun, and disconnect physically from the earth and all the things that we do. But we can start by degrees bringing back a little bit of what's natural to us as a species, connecting to the earth when we can, eating natural food that our bodies understand when we can, spending time with family and friends, re-establishing our tribe, even if it's through technology like video chatting and texting, when we can. Thinking about things, using our minds creatively, contemplating, being present, working on being present when we can. And it's just a thing of how much you can do or how much you feel comfortable doing in that way. And the more that you do over time, the better you feel. The more, in a way, the more integrated you are with the modern world. It's kind of a weird thing, but you can actually, in my opinion, negotiate the modern world better the more in touch you are with the natural self in there. In other words, the healthier you are, the better you treat your body and mind, the better able you are to deal with all the craziness of the modern world. And there is a lot of craziness. A lot of it's fun. Not saying that. I'm not giving up 80s films to go live in the mountains and grow my own potatoes. I'll tell you that much. I don't know why that came up. It's just what it is. I might watch Karate Kid again. It's been, I try not to overdo that. You know, like there's that thing where you don't want to lose the magic. You know, you hear a good song and then you overhear it to the point where it's not that, like you just blew, you know. But Karate Kid is kind of in the queue. Like I've been thinking about it a little bit. There was a woman who works in the restaurant at the Stanford Inn, and she mentioned something came up about Karate Kid, and she mentioned Jackie Chan. And I was like, no, don't even, that's a remake. That's, and a failure on every level. It should be illegal to call that Karate Kid. Sorry, but it's offensive. You don't try to improve a perfect film. Don't do it. It's perfect as it is. Don't mess with it. Just live with it, enjoy it, and move on. Do not remake it. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Shame on Christmas. Wow. A lot of anger here already. Okay. This is part of, it's kind of my therapy. I like to get a lot of anger. Very angry person. No, I'm really not. But when you live a little more naturally, that's the stuff that gets more in balance in a real way. But what I really wanted to talk about in all seriousness is that I do talk about this as being a philosophy of health podcast. I present my book as a philosophy of health book. It's certainly not a diet book, as anybody who's read it will attest to. Only one chapter is on nutrition. That's the free chapter, by the way, that you can get. But I address all the aspects of a human being, especially a human being in the modern world. And as I always say, we're a natural being in an unnatural world. And there's a lot of parts of us that need to be in balance. We can't just tackle food only and expect to be healthy and happy in the modern world, or fitness only, or socializing only. These are all puzzles, puzzle pieces, part of that same big puzzle. And we have to kind of address them all in ways that don't stress us out and turn our lives upside down and make us miserable in the process. And I sort of feel like when, and I've experienced this time and time again, but when somebody is more invested more into one piece of that puzzle more than any other piece, that imbalance continues. And that's why I've said before, I've seen many a people eat a very healthy diet who are very unhealthy, because it's at the expense of all the other parts of them that exist in this modern world and in nature too, if we still did. I mean, it is what makes us up as human beings. We evolve. We are a social animal. We evolve to be connected to the earth. We evolve to be outside in the sunlight. And we evolved with all those, you know, surrounded by food that wasn't natural versus unnatural. It was just food. Now, of course, we've got the dichotomy of natural versus unnatural, and we have to address that every day when we go into the world. And that's why this is, I do think this is a philosophy of health. It's a way of entering the world and a way to relate to people. And for me, and this might sound crazy, you know, I might take you into crazy town on this one, but bear with me. To me, it creeps into ethics, and it creeps into, so it's sort of like this. It's like, I believe on some level we have almost a moral imperative to take care of ourselves. On a purely living in the world way, I believe that the better we take care of ourselves, the better we would take care of our environment, of our earth, of each other. The more we take care of ourselves, the deeper we take care of ourselves. That is expressed in the way that we enter the world and relate to all the other species in the world and on our own species and nature in general. It's an imperative, and I know that that's a strong word, but I think that when we, the more we appeal to our natural design, the more we accept that there are things about us as human beings, things that dictate our, that can actually dictate our actions. For instance, there are foods that just make sense in our bodies. There are foods that make sense. Our bodies go, I get it. And there are foods that don't. And it's not that I'm advocating going all the way one way or the other, but I think it's good to acknowledge that these things exist about us. We are still natural animals. We are. We don't look like it and we don't act like it, but we are, by of design, we are that. We are not. We have not created ourselves like we do robots. We are still existing as a natural species that is procreating. I think we're getting a little off the charts in terms of, you know, how natural we are even physically, because the more, of course, we throw down just totally weird stuff in our bodies and don't move our bodies, all these kinds of things. I mean, over time, that's going to change our actual physical makeup. But right now, we are natural animals that haven't really adapted to the modern world. And we're sort of, I addressed this in the last podcast, we're kind of lost in a way. And our bodies are still totally lost because they don't even know what is going on. And anyway, it's by way of saying that the reason why I call it a philosophy of health is that I think it does creep into that. It's a way to look at this of like, it's an ethical decision to take care of yourself. I think we're designed to be selfish. I think our bodies are certainly designed to be selfish. They're trying to survive and thrive and procreate. They're trying to continue our species, and they're trying to stay alive. And they're going to try to do that no matter what we do. No matter what kind of crazy food we put in our bodies or stress that we inflict upon ourselves with the work that we do or whatever else, our bodies are trying to negotiate that and stay alive in the context of that. And I think we, in a way, what I kind of want to say is I think we owe it to ourselves to take care of ourselves as best as we can in any moment. And that's where the small step thing comes in. It's like the best that you can in any moment may be just a little bit, but that's profound and huge for me. I mean, I see that as enormous, because any more than you can, you're faking it. Any more than you're actually able to do is a short-term quick fix, is a diet with an end date. I mean, that's the thing. And then you're not really taking care of yourself, are you? You're just kind of trying to cheat the system. And usually you're doing that because you fooled yourself into thinking that weight loss equals happiness. And it just doesn't. Health, I believe, is part of happiness. I think that the machine working really well makes you healthy and happy. And that's the name of the game. That makes you enter the world in a way that makes you more successful as a human being. You are appealing to that natural design and expressing that more successfully in the world. And I think it's like a moral imperative expressed through a biological imperative. It's like, take care of yourself on a physical and mental level, and then you become, that act of taking care of yourself translates into the way that you relate to other people, which is that you take care of yourself and you become better at taking care. You learn how to take care. You learn how to care. And the more that you do that with yourself, the more that translates into how you relate to other people as a parent, a sister, a brother, a friend, a coworker, or anything else. So, you know, agree or disagree, but I look at a lot of things in the world through that lens, and I think, my God, with the violence in the world and all the things that are going on, and also proportionate exactly to how unhealthy we are becoming as a species, I think we don't feel good, all of us, most of us, don't feel good when we walk out the door. And that irritability and that sensitivity and that grouchiness and that anger, it can't but manifest in the way that we deal with each other. And so instead of saying it's everybody else's fault but mine, I say turn inside and see if there's ways you can care for yourself better, because I think your body's asking for it. I just believe that to the bottom of my heart. I think our bodies and minds are asking for real self-care. And the more you can understand how to do that for yourself and how to ease your way into looking at your life that way, the better you will live in this world. I believe that, and I will argue that till the cows come home. I don't know where the cows went, but they haven't come home. I don't even know why I got on that subject. I'll tell you why, because some people go, oh, philosophy of health, snicker, snicker. And I'm like, you got a Snickers? Because that sounds awesome right now. And then we don't relate after that because they think I'm odd, which I am. Another point I wanted to make, and that is that because this is a long-term practice, and I think that hopefully you all have listened to my long view episode. Sorry, taking a little sip of the beverage at hand. Because this is a long-term practice, and I'm mentioning this only because, you know, I have new clients and by the way, awesome and fun. And I'm just like loving this whole process. And if you ever feel like you want to work with me, go to transitioningtohealth.net, look at my services. It's not like any other thing that you've ever done. I guarantee it. And it's not like anything out there. So it may not be right for you. I'm just saying that. I like to have a conversation with everybody I work with to make sure that they know what's going on here with me. And if you've listened to this podcast, you probably won't need that conversation too much, because you'll know what I do, which is I don't promise weight loss. I steer the conversation into self-care, which is what I was talking about and what I do in this podcast. Anyways, because this is a long-term process and practice, when you take it on, right? Small step revolution. You're taking this on. When you take this on, and you, like I said before, maybe a diet can fit into this process. When you're aware of it with intention, you go, you know what, I haven't gotten this out of my system yet. I'm going to bounce back into this diet, but I'm also going to learn and think during this process. I'm going to give up sugar for 30 days because my friends are doing it on Facebook and I get it. But I also want to ask why I would even do this and why people are doing this in general. Why are they giving up sugar? Do they want to feel better? Why is that? Why do they want to feel better? They might think it's because of weight loss and they're taking before and after photos, but they want to feel happy. They want to feel joy. You want to know why? Because we're wired that way. That's why. And maybe we should just stop wondering and asking why that is and just accept that we're designed to be healthy and happy and say, what can I do to that end? What can I do to facilitate that? If I get out of the way of myself and kind of let that just kind of happen, I wonder what that life would be like. Or I could just go on a diet five times a year. Lose the weight and then gain the weight, then lose the weight, then gain the weight. Lose the weight and gain the weight. Okay. Because this is a long-term practice, I have to stress with my clients, and I'll stress with you, that it just doesn't look like anything you recognize. And so there's nothing to measure it against. This is frustrating for people. I'm just telling you right now, okay? And there are fluctuations. When it's long-term, there are fluctuations. There's days that you have off days, and then you have on days, and you have momentum, and then the momentum slows a little bit, and then you regain the momentum. I've often made the analogy between this and yoga, and it's like on a yoga, it's like every day you go to yoga, you don't always improve every single day. You don't just build in a new move or some amazing thing every single day. And there's days where you wake up a little more tired and you're not quite as flexible and you're a little achy and you don't maybe hit the pose the way that you did the previous day. And then another day you're kind of feeling it. Same thing with running. I mean, I had a run on Saturday. It's like one of the best runs I've had in a long time. Today I was taking it easy. I was a little more sluggish. When we do diets, it's like we don't get the chance to do that. This is I'm going to lead into the kind of the subject of this podcast. I'm already starting to brew this. I'm brewing it. By the way, I got 10 pounds of green coffee beans. If you don't know yet, because you haven't gone back and listened to the podcast, which you totally should, old episodes, I roast my own coffee. And got a buddy that I'm not tied to any companies. I'm not sponsored, but I totally dig the coffee project in Glendale. I've been working with that guy, James, for years. He's awesome. And I just cannot advocate this enough to you guys. Roast, if you like coffee, and I'm not talking about Taster's Choice, I'm talking about coffee. Snicker. You got to roast your own beans. It's amazing. It takes no time at all. It's totally cheap and totally awesome. So I'm all excited about that because I got 10 pounds I got a Colombian high-end fair trade one, and I got a Mexican one, and I can't wait to get roasted on those things. Why? Why did I talk about that? I have no idea. I'm really not tired. There's no financial gain for me at all. I just want everybody to love coffee the same way that I do. Is that unnatural or unreasonable? I don't think so. Anyway, I seriously do not know how I got on that. I really don't. Anyway, so when you get on a diet, you know, you're not leaving yourself room for those fluctuations. You are following a plan for however long that occurs, 21 days, 7 days, 30 days, whatever. You're following instructions. You're doing what they're telling you to do, and you're sort of waiting to watch the weight come off. You're looking at your scale every day. But you're not in touch with yourself during this process. You're not in touch. You might be giving up sugar for 30 days and going on day 7 like, oh my God, it's so hard. And you're talking to your friends about how hard it is to give up sugar. Oh my God, I noticed that sugar's in all these things. But you're giving it up because you're on a 30-day give up sugar thing. I mean, that's why you're on it. You're not I'm just trying to take steps of health and happiness in my life in all the regards, in all the respects of me as a human being. I'm going to try to look at my entire life. You're just taking sugar off your diet for 30 days. You can be eating the worst food in the world, but no sugar, right? It's a gimmick. If you learn something about yourself in the process, I think it's great. I really do. And that's okay. It's not a negative thing 100%. It's just, again, what is the intention with it, okay? But when you get on the small step and you get in the small step world, when you join me on this, right? When you're like, okay, I've listened to 35 episodes. This is the 36. He's kind of annoying now. I guess I'll give it a shot. Okay, when you get into that with me on this podcast and you start looking and saying, well, what am I ready to take on? What is not stressful for me to take on? Well, I'm going to try this thing that's so minimal that I could totally do this for the rest of my life. There's no problem here at all. And you take that on, and then you build on to that. But then all of a sudden, you build on to that, and you went from 1 minute of journaling to 5 minutes of journaling to 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, 15 minutes is just kind of stressing you out. And so you back down to 10 minutes, and you can, okay, I can do that for a while. And then you build back up, and it's ebb and flow. And you're also kind of adding in a little heavy box food in your life. And you start with a little, you know, a few squats every day in your room, because that you could do for the rest of your life. That takes 5 seconds. And then you build off that. Now you're going on little walks, but you got to adjust that a little bit. And you're kind of entering the world every day like, what can I do for myself today? I can still go to work. No, but this practice and this way of becoming healthy and happy doesn't make you have to quit your job. I don't have to miss dinner with my friends because I'm on a diet plan. I don't have to give up something that I really like for 30 days and then all of a sudden flood myself back with it because I didn't, you know, build in behavioral change, but just kind of faked a different way of living for a fixed amount of time. The problem is that when people begin this small step way of approaching their health and happiness, you oftentimes, and I do too, and my clients do also, you'll get sucked into comparisons now and then. You'll go like, well, this is all fine, but like I'm not losing, you know, you'll find yourself like on the scale after a month and going like, what the hell? Like I've only lost a pound, or I even gained a pound. And the thing is like, that's because that's where you are in the practice. If you truly understand the long-term nature of this process, you'll understand that it is not about the scale. You'll slowly start to not care about the scale. You're going to slowly start to understand how you feel every day when you empower yourself with action and when you truly take control of your life. I mean, that's what that's what my website says. I help people take control of their lives. That's what I tell you. That's what I hope this podcast is doing for you, is to help you take control of your life. A diet is in control of you. You are not in control of a diet. But we get sucked, all of us, including me. We want to compare results. And if we have the worst case is we've got a friend who's on a diet and they lose 10 pounds in the month. And they're looking at you going, what are you doing? That's the stupidest thing. Look at me. I lost 10 pounds. And it's like, okay, but what about a year from now? Well, that kind of sucks. Like, because we don't want to sit around for a year and then go, ha ha. You know what I mean? And it's like, who would anyway? Like, we got lives to live. But again, the more you enter this world of trying this on, the more you try this, because I'm asking you to, and I'm not selling you anything, okay? I'm saying start to add in steps. The more that you do this, you'll start to understand the big picture of what this is like. And you won't have to push all the time forward. You will understand the things that you can take on. And every day you're going to say, I'm going to do the best I can, and understand that that picture changes day to day. The best you can changes depending on if you're on a vacation, or if you have a special weekend with family, or if you changed jobs and had to get a new place to live and you're stressed and you all these kinds of that adjust, and you do the best you can in that circumstance. And then your life kind of mellows out and normalizes, and then you do the best you can in that circumstance. And you're able to take on more during that time. But overall, there's a forward trend. Overall, there's dips, there's highs and lows during it. But overall, it's an upward trend overall. I don't know if you guys have ever like looked at the Dow Jones Industrial. Like it's it's waves. It's like up and down. But overall, it tends to climb. Then it crashes, and then it comes back up. And then it kind of, and overall, historically over the year, it's just kind of always grown over time. But it's over time. That's how this is. You're in the practice of improving your health and happiness when you're thinking about your health and happiness. That is first and foremost. I mean, that is the, you want to know a secret? You want to know, here, get in close to the speaker. Here, get a little closer. Okay, there, stop. Not too close. You know, don't sit that in front of, that close to the television, and do not get your ears that close to the speaker. Come on. Don't do what I tell you just because I told you. But when you get in close to the speaker, here's a secret. It is all about the thinking. Okay? It is all about the thinking. When you attach whatever action you do to intention of self-care and to thinking about how to live your life the best way you can in the world, okay? The problem I have with meditation sometimes, or what people call meditation, man, in the modern world, okay? It's like you detach yourself from the world during meditation, and then you enter the world and you don't even know how to negotiate the world. And that's, I'm not saying that meditation is bad. It's relaxing and all these kinds of things. But as long as you're engaged in the world, as long as you are, I'll put it this way, as long as you're living in the modern world and doing the things that modern world humans have to do, most of us, fix our own food, brush our teeth, drive in cars, go to work, travel, talk on the telephone, all the things that we do, I believe there is a way in the way that I advocate meditation. And if you guys want to go back to that episode, I think it was 17, where I have this discussion with Jeff Stanford about meditation. But it's a way to engage more fully in the modern world. It's actually a way to engage more fully in this life that we human beings have created for ourselves in this modern world. Yes, it's unnatural, but we can come at it from a place that it lets us engage in it more fully and not be controlled by it, but rather we are in control of our experience of it. I hope that makes sense, because this is just, it comes up a lot. It's like, you get it conceptually. Okay, Sid, I totally understand it. Small steps, small steps. Let me take this on. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, but man, where's the weight loss? Where's the, like, why haven't I lost as much weight? And I'm like, we're talking year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. What are you ready for? Get to know what you are ready for. Now, what happens is, because I've seen this over and over again with my clients, is that when you establish a strong foundation of health and happiness and a way to enter the world thinking about yourself, your own health and happiness, and how to take care of yourself every day, when you establish a good foundation, the growth from that point is exponential. It's like when you eat the stalk of celery that I always talk about and become a person who eats healthy by virtue of the fact that you eat only one stalk of celery every day, which virtually anybody can do, I think, or if not half a stalk, whatever. If you can do that every single day with no stress at all, you become a person who eats healthy. That's just the fact. You can't argue with me on that. You can argue whether that's healthy enough, whether you're eating enough healthy food or not, but you eat healthy food. You're a person who eats healthy food if you eat a stalk of celery every day. That's period. And when you identify with that fact about yourself, the growth from that point on is exponential. It's like then once you become a person who eats healthy every day, eating healthier becomes so much less stressful. I mean, it's just not that hard to do at that point. When you walk for 1 minute a day or 20 seconds a day, or you do 5 squats, which takes 30 seconds at the most, you become a person who exercises every single day. And when you identify that with yourself, when you become that person in your soul, then to build on that is the growth is exponential. I've seen it before. I start people off super small, and within a few months, they're just like, yeah, 30 minutes a day, man. No problem. 40 minutes a day. That's because they're identified with it. They're identified with it. But if they do a fitness plan or P90X or one of these crazy things, they do that for that time. They burn out and it's just not them. They didn't become that. They did not become that. They acted like it and then they didn't become it. Okay. Fake it till you make it. Remember? Don't do it. Don't do it. That's what I said. That's brilliant. God, sometimes I impress myself. Just don't do it, man. That's like seeing somebody who's really overweight and going, geez, why do you eat so much? Yeah. Okay. You eat less. Okay. Oh, you're an alcoholic? What? Hey, stop drinking. Why don't you just do that? Okay. That's a totally great idea. If you just stop drinking, you won't be an alcoholic. Duh. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe in the modern world, we are bombarded with stuff that appeals to our pleasure center, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or light box food. And maybe we have to take it on ourselves to make these changes in ourselves. And we can't rely on somebody to do that for us or some pop psychology slogan-based change. It ain't going to happen. It doesn't happen. It's not happening. Okay? Now you got me all riled up. I just don't... Why do you guys do that to me? Huh? Don't understand it. You on the rock climbing wall. Cool, but geez. Why are you listening to a podcast while you're climbing on a wall in a gym? Not even safe. Okay. Another thing that comes up time and time again, I was just teaching this past weekend, had some good classes, some cool people coming up, visiting at the old Stanford Inn, taught some nutritional classes, taught a cooking class today. I never do that. Rare is the day. We have a chef instructor, but she was out of town and they wanted to do plant-based cheeses. Guess what? I can do it. So I don the old chef coat. You should totally follow me on Instagram. You can see a picture of me with a Licari couple. Very cute and fun. I had a great time with them. However, Not, however, with them. They're awesome. But in these classes, it often comes up this conflict, right? So they're listening to sort of my approach with nutrition, and I'm talking about nutrient, you know, heavy box versus light box, and it's making sense to them, right? And they're getting it like conceptually. I try to just distill this information in ways that is just so accessible and understandable, and you should just get my free chapter, okay? It's not a piece of, it's not like, you know, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Sid Garza Hillman. You know, I'm not, it's not like that. Okay. Maybe Kant. No, I'm just joking. But I do try to distill it. I try to make it fun. Whether I succeed, that's up to you. But I try to make it fun because this is like, we overthink these things so much. It's like we drive ourselves nuts. So I'm in this class and I'm like, you know, laying it out in very simple terms. And what I always tell people is like, they come in to kind of take notes and I go, you know what? You can take notes, but you don't have to. And you'll know enough after one class with me to really never have to read another nutrition book ever again. It's not that complicated. What the struggle is how to incorporate these things long-term. That's the struggle. My work with my clients is about 10 to 20% nutrition, and the rest is building in how to add small steps for the rest of your life so you never have to work with me again. Okay? But what comes up in these classes often is they're hearing my approach to nutrition. It's making sense, and yet they have become, they're conflicted, and I can see it. I go, okay, let me guess. Some doctor told you to take calcium supplements for healthy bones. Am I right? And I'm just like, yes. Okay, so here's the problem that I have. It would be, I think I may have mentioned this before in a podcast. I don't know. It would be immoral of me. It would be unethical of me. And actually, in the United States, it would be illegal for me to discuss medication, to advise on medication, or to recommend medication. Now, illegality aside, that ain't any in my bag. I don't even care what's illegal or legal in this regard, or in most regards. What I do care is my own ethics and my own morals, and it would be immoral and unethical for me to do that. Why? Because I'm not trained in medication. I'm not a drug therapist. Medical doctors are trained and they are brilliant. They know how to look up a drug that matches the thing that is going on with your body, and for the most part, they do that quite well. But here's my problem. My problem is that when they advise on nutrition, when they are not trained in nutrition. And yet for some reason in this country, it tends to be not immoral, not unethical, nor illegal for a doctor to advise on nutrition when they are not trained in nutrition. This is the problem I have with most doctors. Now, of course, there are some doctors who are trained in nutrition. Then that's fine. Just like if I went back to medical school and got my medical degree, I could advise on medication if I became a licensed MD. My problem is when the boundaries are overstepped and I am up against what is, as in most cases, very, very poor nutritional advice. You know, I know because I get it from my own MD that I bring my kids to. I hope they're not listening. No, I'm not feeding my kids cow's milk. You just told me they're growing perfectly and that you never see them except for a checkup once every couple of years. Why are you telling me to feed my kids cow's milk every time? Why are you asking me about protein every time? Gee, I wonder. So when you have a problem with your body that's acute and heavy duty, go to an MD or go to some practitioner that is appropriate for the thing that's going on with you. But don't go to an MD for nutritional advice when you're trying to increase your, you know, trying to improve your health and happiness. So I thought about this. So I decided I was going to do a little, a short 2-minute one-act play, okay? By way of illustrating the craziness of going to an MD for nutritional advice, okay? As crazy, by the way, as it would be to come to me for medicine, for pharmaceutical advice, okay? All right. Here's the scene. Set up. I'll play myself, but the fictional version of myself, which is that I'm having trouble in my marriage, which I'm not. I love you, honey, if you're listening to this, which I know you're not, because I think you're still on podcast number 5. Okay, here I am. Ready? And action. Hey, can do you guys, you fix Randy's car? Wait, let me start over. Hold on, I got to get my chops. I got my SAG card. I paid my dues. I got my SAG card back. I took a little Instagram. I'm still in the Screen Actors Guild, so I've got to dig deep for this. Okay, here we go. Knock. Hey, Randy, the mechanic, you fix cars? Well, yes, I do. Hey, listen, I'm having trouble with my marriage. I know I dropped my car off for an oil change and a lube job, but I'm having a lot of trouble with my marriage. Could you advise me on that? Oh, hell yeah, man. Okay, what's the problem? Well, my wife and I are getting along very well, and I just thought this was the best place maybe to get marriage advice because you fix cars. And so I thought, you know, maybe you could help me. Well, man, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Here's the answer. You blow off your wife and go get yourself a six-pack of Pabst. And head out and just blow off your wife and try to remember who wears the pants in the family. Oh my God, Randy, that is amazing advice. That is thank you so much. I really think this is going to help. I'm really glad that I came to you for marital advice. And wow, that's amazing. Thank you for fixing my minivan. It's never looked so good in all these years. Cut, action, interior, home. Honey, hi, listen, what's going on? Nothing. Well, I don't really care because guess what? I got marital advice from Randy the mechanic. And guess what I'm doing? I'm going to get a beer and blowing you off. And I'm going out with my friends. And guess what? I think I wear the pants in the family. And scene. Who is there a dry eye in the house? Honestly. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Going to a mechanic for marital advice. And yet, all the time that I teach people and come across people, they are given nutritional advice by people who are not nutritionists. And it is a shame because guess what? We're not getting healthier as a species, and we're certainly not getting healthier as people living in the United States. I know there are people in 54 countries listening to this, but most countries are becoming the same in this regard. Okay? You may disagree with my nutritional approach, but I'm a nutritionist. That's, you know, you might disagree with me, then go to another nutritionist, but don't go somewhere where it's not appropriate given what they do in their job, okay? All right. I don't mean to scold you. I'm just saying I don't have to take television away for a week, okay? All right, here we go. We're going to get back into the subject here of this podcast episode, and that is slow and steady wins the race. Now, I got to give a little props to my bud Hillary. And because she, during my training of my marathon, we carpool. So I drop the kids off and they get in her van. I swear to God, she has the exact same van, same color as my wife and I, my van. Anyway, she'd always say, slow and steady wins the race. And so I was thinking about that in terms of my own approach and this podcast, of course. And I was thinking about that and I was like, okay, well, that's kind of an interesting way to look at this whole process. And for the most part, slow and steady wins the race, except, you know, if you're in an actual race, in which case it doesn't. Usually the person who's faster wins the race. But all things being equal, I think what we're talking about here is not a race literally, but sort of the race of living in the world as a happy and healthy human being. Okay? Slow and steady wins the race. So what I was thinking about is all the things that we do in the modern world. And for some reason, on a run, I was thinking about this because I had my little handy-dandy recorder. I was thinking about jet lag. And it's like, it kind of embodied for me this realization about our poor bodies. Like I'm in California, I can get on an airplane and in 24 hours, in like 10 hours, I can be in a completely different part of the earth. Such that, I mean, literally. So think about how unnatural that is compared to how we would move back in the Little House on the Prairie days, which were totally realistic. Half pint, she had to go to the post office. It would take her 17 days to get to the post office. What a doll. Now we can get in this airplane and fly all the way across the world. Okay, be in a completely different time zone. Now, what is the body doing in that sense? Is the body adjusting? No. I mean, that is what jet lag is. Jet lag is the body is not catching up with the place that you are in when you land. the body takes time to catch up. There's actually something called circadian rhythm, where it's literally the rhythm of the earth. It's the, there's a thing, it's called the Schumann response. You can look it up. But there are times in the morning around 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. where the frequency of the earth's surface peaks. And it's sort of like local to where you are based on when you get up in the morning and when you go to sleep in the, at night. And when you go to a completely different part of the world, that's a, you know, your body is still at 8 a.m. California time. Well, when you fly to another part and it's a completely different time of the day when you land, and it's, you know, 7 hours behind or 9 hours ahead or whatever, you know, it is where you're going, you get jet lag. And that is that it's not really jet lag, it's body lag. Like, your body is trying to catch up. And when you land and get down on the earth, your body goes, oh, okay, listen, I'm going to need just a minute here because I got to kind of reestablish and reorient myself. It's been, oh, okay, what, cup of coffee? Okay, just can you hold on one, just one quick second? I just got to kind of reorient myself. Oh, beer, we're in Germany, of course, you got to have a beer, but I was just hoping that you could give me just a second here to kind of get my bearings here because this is whoa. And oh my goodness, grilled cheese? Wow, it tastes good. But I kind of just, if I could just have, and the poor body's just constantly, like, we're just running it. And now eventually the body will get so fatigued that it's literally going to make you sleep. Like, I lived in Germany for a couple months, and I remember the first day I got there, and I was exhausted, and I just kind of pushed through and went to bed at like 9 or 10 that night. And I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to be totally on schedule. Like, I just pushed through. I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. I woke up the next morning at 7. I was like, adjusted. Until like 3 that afternoon, my body was like, I'm so not adjusted. You can look at the clock, but that ain't, I'm not there yet. And it just shut me down. The body knows. It's like it has to reorient. But we are pushing our bodies and putting our bodies in these unnatural situations all the time. So then I started to contemplate about all the things that we've done in the modern world, like high quality protein. Like, we talk about protein, we talk about high quality protein. Well, look up high quality protein. It doesn't mean it's healthy for us. It means it's the most efficient thing. It's the most efficient form of protein to make our organism grow fast, right? Not slow and steady, fast. Plant proteins are low quality. That's a benefit for us as human beings. We're not attuned to high quality protein. It's not what we don't want to grow our organism faster. Wonder why our kids are maturing, why our girls are menstruating at age 9 or 10. It's because we're growing them too fast. That has to do with fat, which is also oil. It's refined fat. We've extracted fat and we've made it like a little fat bomb. Our protein that we, soy protein isolate, whey protein, all the animal products that we're throwing down our gullet in ways that we never did in the Paleolithic era, wink, wink. Refined carbohydrates. We've just refined all these calorie sources, protein, fat, and carbohydrate, in ways that have no nutrition alongside of them, no fiber, no water, none of the things that slow the food down in our bodies. We are fast. We speed everything up. Look at diets. Look at so many diets. Got to eat 5 times a day. Why? You want to speed up your metabolism. Well, of course you do if you're trying to lose weight. But what if you're trying to be healthy? Guess what's better for you? A slow metabolism. You want to know why? Because you're not burning fast. You're not burning out. Your body's not working as hard. You slow your metabolism down. You eat more heavy box foods. You don't gain weight. If you're in the heavy box realm, you can't even overeat as much. The more natural that food is. And that fiber and water take up space in your stomach, make you feel full. It slows down. We want to get it done. Get her done. What we do in the modern world, we do as fast as possible, right? Look at technology. Email. Boy, that saved us a lot of time. My God, the free time I have because of email. Except that now email is just making us all have to do like a billion things more in the same amount of time, right? And the messages associated with this speed of life in the modern world are the antithesis of self-care and contemplation. And I've said it before, we didn't design this world to have us think. We designed this world to get it done. This world makes it so easy for us never to think, never have to move, never have to search out for food. Don't have to stress out about calories. We can get them with no nutrition attached to them, no micronutrients attached to those calories. slow and steady wins the race. The more that you can, and steady is really kind of what I want to even focus on, because it's like what I talked about a few minutes ago, which is that the long view of a small step approach is that it is just, you're just kind of steadily plugging along. You're steadily plugging along. Now, the thing that to understand about this is, like, even in the fitness realm, like I learned this from Rich Roll. If you guys haven't checked out his podcast, do it. Tell him I sent you. Okay. I was on his podcast and it was awesome. Totally put me out there for people. But his podcast taught me about zone two training. And then I started reading some books about it, about how when you're running, the new kind of school of thought, and it's not everybody agrees with it, but it totally worked for me, is to go out super duper slow to build your endurance. And it's called zone, some people call it zone two, and that refers to the heart rate that you're exercising at. You keep your heart at a low rate during your running. And sometimes in the beginning, until you build a good foundation of endurance, just like wink, wink, the foundation of health that I was talking about earlier, when you establish that strong foundation, you build fast. But in the beginning, when you start running, your zone two might just be a walk, because any more than that, your heart rate goes up past the, you know, into zone one or zone three. I don't even know what the other higher zone is. Doesn't matter. Zone two is a low stress place. Okay. But it's, I will just tell you, it's different for everybody, and slow and steady is only relative to the person, because my zone two running right now is probably around 9 minute miles. That's where I'm just kind of maybe 9.5 minute miles, where I'm just like easy. I'm breathing deep breaths. I can talk. I can have a conversation for 2 hours at a nine and a half minute pace. But I've been doing this zone two training for over a year. And in the beginning, it was like 11 minute pace. Like that was my slow and steady then. The slow and steady is relative. The more your base builds up, then you build up your zone two kind of thing. And I want to apply that to food too. It's like the things that I do in my life, the way that I eat now, the way that I run now, are not stressful to me. I don't battle. I'm not pushing it every time I get up and have my fruit, you know, most of the day in a big salad like I had tonight with a head and a half of lettuce in it. There's no stress involved. I was looking forward to it, actually. And that's because I got here in a slow and steady way. I just continue to build. And that's why running 9 minute miles now isn't stressful for me. But a year ago, running 9 minute miles was stressful to me. That was a very, very fast pace for me. So it's all relative, but the fact remains that when we put our bodies in a place to build and we do that in a way that is not stressful for us, our bodies respond in a way that improves our health and happiness way faster. I'll say that again. If we move toward greater health and happiness in ways that we're not pushing it, but in ways that are minimally stressful, it gives our bodies time to adjust to that, to the little bit of stress we're doing, and then we can then build from there. So in other words, if I got off the couch now and just ran 7 minute miles 7 days a week, I wouldn't be able to go very far and I would not improve. I'm just telling you right now, because my body would be stressed out. I'd probably get injured and I would not improve. But if I'm sticking at 9 and 9.5 and I'm building my endurance, and some days I go a little faster, but then a little slower, and I take it easy and I cool down over time, I'm building, 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 building. All the things, even in the exercise realm, I mean, just look at what we're doing. We're going to spin class, nailing it. Got to get that workout. High intensity training, P90X, insanity. Again, what are we going to those things for? Most people are going to those things for weight loss. And then we're surprised that we don't actually lose a significant amount of weight doing those things. We'll lose some weight, but then people plateau because their bodies are under stress and they're not going to get past that stuff unless we remove the stress and let our bodies adjust in a real way. Okay? Going on a cleanse right now for 10 days is going to be a pain in my ass, just like if I was to get off the couch and run 6 minute miles to push it like that. I don't want to do that. It's stressful for me and it's not natural for me. I want to ease my way in, but I've been doing this a long time and this is how I've come to this. Okay. Now, if you're a professional athlete, you know, I joked earlier, slow and steady wins the race, except for if you're actually racing. You know, like an athlete has races to win, but in the way that they train and the way that they approach life, they too would need to approach life in a slow and steady fashion, and even in their training, otherwise they burn out. You know, they burn out. They could get injured. Of course, they're trying to win literal races, but this is not about that. What I'm talking about is the larger race that we're involved in, which is that what we win when we keep ourselves slow and steady, when we engage in life in ways that are incremental. What we win is we win a more full experience of life, a more gay, engaged experience of life. I mean, that is the race we win when we slow down and remember day to day, even if it's for 1 minute a day, what it is that we want as human beings, all of us. What it is that makes you happy is up to you. That you want to be happy is up to our species. It is a design of our species. Being healthy and happy is a design of our species, and I think it is an imperative that is built into us to appeal to that design. And when we don't, we are in conflict every day, and that conflict is manifest in the health of our bodies and the way that we treat each other. Ask yourself, are you happy most of the time with moments of anger, stress, or depression or sadness, or are you angry, stressed, and depressed most of the time with moments of happiness? The practice of a small steps approach to health and happiness, I want to be clear, isn't always happy, happy, joy, I feel good, I'm eating a cucumber and I'm in heaven. But what you understand in the process is that big hunk of cucumber that you eat before you eat whatever meal you're eating because you're introducing heavy box foods into your life incrementally, it may not be as pleasurable as the chicken fried steak that you're about to have. But when you're finished, you realize the empowerment that you just grabbed, the strength and confidence that you just grabbed. And that is longer term than the chicken fried steak, which also gives you joy, but it ends when you finish that last bite. Whereas the cucumber, you find out, lasts well beyond. And you understand that this is a process of shifting your most of the time, how you feel most of the time, what you do most of the time. Go back and listen to my MOTT episode, most of the time. It's not just what you do most of the time, it's how you feel most of the time. And take it easy when you ask yourself these questions. Like I always say, stuff comes up. But if you say, you know what, most of the time I'm actually in not a good mood, I'm irritable, I have times of joy, but on the balance, I'm actually more not in a good mood than I'm in a good mood. And just that question slows things down, because it's the kind of thinking that we're in a way not allowed to do in the modern world. We're too busy. We get email on our phones. We are and can be and usually will be busy all the time because we can be busy all the time. If we have that 5 minutes to spare, what better than to catch an episode of Mad Men on Netflix? We don't take that time. But the big question is it serving us? I mean, as a species, is this model serving us? We don't have time to eat well, so we got to take pills. Is that serving us? We don't have time to move our bodies day to day, so we go beat ourselves up in the gym for 30 minutes. Is it serving us? And if we approach life and we say, you know what, I'm just going to keep plugging away. I'm going to give this a shot. I don't have to turn my life upside down for Sid's approach. I don't have to do a diet plan and do all this planning and a fitness plan that maybe stresses me out and I'm kind of dreading it, to be honest. But I know it's going to be over in 2 weeks, but still, God, what a, geez. So I'm going to try Sid's thing on for I'm going to give it a shot. Try it on for size. And I'm going to go slow and steady now. And maybe the results don't manifest in physical ways in 3 weeks, like my buddy over there who's doing a 21-day cleanse. Maybe my results don't manifest in, you know, 100% improved skin or 15 pounds of weight loss, by the way, mostly water, or fitness, you know, in whatever, six-pack abs. Maybe my results don't manifest like that. And it's a shot in the dark because I don't know Sid. And he seems a little bit nutty, especially that one act. It was a little inappropriate, to be honest. And I kind of don't know what, now I don't even know what he's talking about. I can't trust him. But I do know that these diets that I've been going on for the last 10 years, on and off, don't work. That I know. So as much of a kook as he is, I'm going to give this a shot and see really what happens when I ask myself what I'm ready for. And I go into the world each day and say, I'm going to do the best I can. I don't know what that looks like for me right now. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm just going to take this slow and steady. And if it takes me years, that's just what it is, because it's not the same as a diet. So I can't compare it to a diet. It's not in the same arena. I can't say, well, this thing took me longer than a diet, because they're apples and oranges. They're not the same thing. They don't look the same thing. You can't compare them. They're not in the same arena. But what I can notice is if this takes me 3 years, I did a whole bunch of improvement along the way and learned about myself and took control of my life in the process, and a diet can't do it. Just like a 10-day fitness plan cannot make you fit. It takes the body time to adjust to change. Slow and steady wins the race. Zone two running, take it easy. Let your body adjust. Let it recover. Let it take the time it needs to adjust. You eat healthier, a 7-day cleanse, and then going back to what you're eating before the cleanse, your body doesn't take the time to adjust to the new way of eating. It doesn't really clean out all the trillions of cells. It doesn't clean those all out in 7 days. It might do some stuff, but it doesn't do it because it takes time. It's not even ready to make a full adjustment, because you have to do that for a very long time before your body can readjust to your new most of the time. A 7-day cleanse isn't a most of the time. It's a 7-day thing. Slow and steady wins the race. But understand that the race that we're in this very short time that we are on this earth, is to figure out a way to live the best way we can, to live the healthiest way we can and the happiest way that we can. It is our natural design, and I think it is what we owe ourselves. I think it is what we owe ourselves. So in going forward, try it on for size. This week, just don't change your world upside down. Don't clear your house of light box foods. Don't go hit the gym and beat yourself up. You can hit the gym and take yourself, you know, take care of yourself. Hit the gym if it's fun. Eat healthy food if you enjoy that. But for now, wake up in the morning and say, what would it look like if I did the best I could today? What would that look like? Don't even try to do it. Just say, what would that look like? What could I possibly do today that I didn't do yesterday better for myself? What would that be like if I did that? What would my life be like if I started taking control and realized that there are things I can do right now? I can actually take action right now. I am not powerless. I am 100% powerful, because there's actions I can do right now. I don't need anybody to do them for me, because I can't. Go forward this week and try that on for size. Give it a shot. All right? You guys are great. Thank you for sticking with me in this. And again, thanks for the emails, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. Keep them coming. I appreciate all of you out there. I would not do this if there's nobody listening. So the fact that you're listening keeps me going. Please spread the word about this thing. I'm a word of mouth guy, 100%. All right? Until next week, because you know I'll be back. There's no way you can't get rid of me now at this point. You can't even turn your iPhone off. I'll just be there. I'm in your head. All right, you guys, be well.
I laid you down. Then I washed you down. And I set aside a silent cry. Then I sprinkle the rain in the faint darkness ahead. Faint darkness ahead. Shine, shine.